Today, the Great Plays series of the National Broadcasting Company presents the first of three great plays by Shakespeare, Love's Labor's Lost.
In previous broadcasts, we have shown you examples of earlier English drama. 2 weeks ago, we played Everyman, outstanding example of the morality plays of the early 16th century. Last Sunday, we brought you an adaptation of Christopher Marlowe's Dr. Faustus, showing how Marlowe, in this play more than any other, created with blank verse a dramatic medium of great majesty and eloquence, and ushered in the golden age of Elizabethan drama. Shakespeare was Marlowe's pupil and successor, and carried on the tradition of Marlowe's dramatic poetry, developing it to the highest state of perfection in comedy and tragedy alike. Today's play, Love's Labor's Lost, was in all probability written about the year 1591. It is, therefore, the work of Shakespeare as a young man, restless, inventive, and artificially elegant in expression. But even here, in this early work, you may perceive the sensitivity and brilliance which lifted the Shakespeare of the later plays to the throne of eminence in the drama of England and the world. The story we are about to tell takes place in the kingdom of Navarre, more than three centuries ago, in an age of manners and elegance. The king of Navarre, a man of great charm and grace, has always, without the slightest effort on his own part, enjoyed the greatest success in all worldly affairs. Hence, like many another bored gentleman of leisure, he has begun to find life very cloying indeed, and he has recently resolved to renounce the world and turn ascetic. To bolster his resolution, he has prepared a document, which, as we find him now in the garden of his gorgeous palace, accompanied by his three favorite courtiers, he is about to sign, and to see that the others sign with him. The king speaks.
Navarre shall be the wonder of the world.
I believe.
You three, Biron, Dumaine, and Longueville, have sworn for 3 years' term to live with me, my fellow scholars. And to keep those statutes that are recorded in the schedule here. Your oaths are passed, and now subscribe your names. Subscribe.
I, Longueville, am resolved. 'Tis but a 3 years' fast. The mind shall banquet, though the body pine. Fat paunches have lean pates, and dainty bits make rich the ribs, but bankrupt quite the whip.
My loving lord, Dumaine is mortified. The grosser manner of these world's delights he throws upon the gross world's baser slaves. To love, to wealth, to pomp, I pine and die, with all these living in philosophy.
I, Biron, can but say the protestation over. So much, dear liege, I have already sworn.
Good.
That is, to live and study here 3 years.
Aye.
But there are other strict observances, as not to see a woman in that term, which I hope is not enrolled there.
Ah, but it is.
And 1 day in a week to touch no food. And but 1 meal on every day beside, which I hope is not enrolled there. And then to sleep but 3 hours in the night, and not be seen to wink of all the day, which I hope well is not enrolled there. All these are barren tasks, too hard to keep. Not to see ladies, study, fast, not sleep.
Your oath is passed to pass away from these.
Let me say no, Milesian, if you please. I only swore to study with your grace and stay here in your court for 3 years' space.
You swore to that, Baroon, and to the rest.
Yes, by yea and nay, sir, then I swore in jest. What is the end of study? Let me know.
Why, that to know which else we should not know.
Things hidden barred, you mean, from common sense?
Aye, that is study's godlike recompense.
Come on, then. I will swear to study so, to know the thing I am forbid to know, as thus, to study where I well may dine, when to feast expressly am forbid, or study where to meet some mistress fine, when mistresses from common sense are hid, or having sworn too hard a keeping oath, study to break it, and not break my troth. Swear me to this, and I will ne'er say no.
These be the stops that hinder study quite, and train our intellects to vain delight.
Why, all delights are vain, and that most vain, which with pain purchased doth inherit pain, as painfully to pore upon a book. Study is like the heaven's glorious sun, that will not be deep searched with saucy looks. Small have continual plodders ever won, save base authority from others' books.
Ah, how well he's read, to reason against reading. Well, sit you out. Go home, Birun. Adieu.
No,
adieu.
No, my good lord. I have sworn to stay with you. And though I have for barbarism spoke more than for that angel knowledge, you can say, yet confident I'll keep what I have swore and bide the penance of each 3 years' day. Give me the paper.
Here.
Let me read the same, and to the strictest decrees I'll write my name.
How well this yielding rescues thee from shame.
Let me read. Item. That no woman shall come within a mile of my court. Hath this been proclaimed?
4 days ago.
Oh, this article, my liege, yourself must break.
What? Oh, no.
Well, you know, here comes in embassy the French king's daughter with yourself to speak.
Wow.
A maid of grace and complete majesty, about to render up of Aquitaine to her decrepit, sick, and bedrid father. Therefore, this article is made in vain. Or vainly comes the admired princess to them.
What say you, lord? Why, this was quite forgot. We must of course dispense with this decree. She must lie here on mere necessity.
Necessity will make us all forsworn 3,000 times within this 3 years' space. If I break faith, this word shall speak for me. I am forsworn on mere necessity. So to the Lord at large I write my name. But I believe, although I seem so loath, I am the last that will last keep his oath. But is there no quick recreation granted?
Aye, that there is.
Indeed.
Our court, you know, is haunted with a refined traveler of Spain. A man in all the world's new fashion planted, that hath a mint of phrases in his brain, on whom the music of his own vain tongue doth ravish like enchanting harmony. How you delight me, lord, I know not I, but I protest I love to hear him lie.
So do I.
And I'm a leader.
Don Amado is his name. And I will use him for my minstrelsy.
Amado is a most illustrious wight, a man of fire, new words, fashion's own knight.
Cost of the swain, and he shall be our sport. And so to study. Well, 3 years is but short.
Meanwhile, what have we here?
Which is the Duke's own person?
This fellow, what would...
I myself represent his own person, for I am his grace's Tarborough, Dull. But I would see his own person in flesh and blood.
This is he.
Signor commend you. There's villainy abroad. This letter will tell you more.
A letter from the magnificent Amado.
Sir, the contempts thereof are as touching me, costed.
How low soever the matter, I hope in God for high words.
The matter is to me, sir, as concerning Jacquinetta. The manner of it is... I was taken with the manner.
In what manner?
In manner and form following, sir, all those three. I was seen with her in the manor house, sitting with her upon the form, and taken, following her into the park, which put together is in manner and form following. Now, sir, for the manner. It is the manner of a man to speak to a woman.
Ah.
For the form, in some form...
For the following, sir?
As it shall follow in my correction, and God defend the right.
Will you hear this letter with attention?
As we would hear an oracle.
Great deputy, the Welkin's vice-regent and sole dominator of Navarre. My soul's earth's god and body's fostering patron.
Not a word of costard yet.
So it is that...
And maybe so, but if he say it is so, he is in telling true, but so-so.
Oh, peace, peace.
Be to me and every man that dares not fight.
No words, no words.
Of other men's secrets, I beseech you.
So it is, besieged with sable-colored melancholy. I did commend the black oppressing humor to the most wholesome physic of thy health-giving air. And, as I am a gentleman, betook myself to walk. The time when, about the 6th hour when beasts most graze, birds best peck, and men sit down to that nourishment which is called supper. So much for the time when. Now for the ground which I mean I walked upon. It is yclept thy park. Then for the place where I mean I did encounter that obscene and most preposterous event that draweth from my snow-white pen the ebon-colored ink, which here thou viewest, beholdest, surveyest, or seest, but to the place where it standeth north-northeast and by east from the west corner of thy curious knotted garden. There did I see that low-spirited swain, that base minnow of my mirth.
Me.
That unlettered, small-knowing soul.
Me.
That shallow vassal.
Still me.
Which, as I remember, hight Costard.
Oh, me.
Sorted and consorted, contrary to thy established proclaimed edict and continent canon, with, oh, with But with this I passion to say wherewith.
With a wench.
With a child of our grandmother Eve, a female. Or for thy more sweet understanding, a woman. Him, Costard, I, as my ever-esteemed duty pricks me on, have sent to thee to receive the meed of punishment by thy sweet grace's officer, Anthony Dull, a man of good repute, carriage, bearing, and estimation.
Me, and shall please you, I am Anthony Dull.
For Jacquinetta, so is the weaker vessel called, which I apprehended with the aforesaid swain Costard. I keep here as a vessel of thy law's fury, and shall, at the least of thy sweet notice, bring her to trial. Thine in all compliments of devoted and heart-burning heat of duty, Don Adriano Di Amado, signed. Sir Acostad, what say you to this?
Sir, I confess the wench.
Did you hear the proclamation?
I do confess much of the hearing of it, but little of the marking of it.
It was proclaimed a year's imprisonment to be taken with a wench.
I was taken with none, sir. I was taken with a damsel.
Well, it was proclaimed damsel.
This was no damsel neither, sir. She was a virgin.
It is so very too, for she was proclaimed virgin.
If it were, I deny her virginity. I was taken with a maid.
This maid will not serve your turn, sir.
This maid will serve my turn, sir.
Sir, I will pronounce your sentence. You shall pass the week with bran and water.
Oh!
And Don Amado shall be your keeper.
Oh!
May Lord Berun see him delivered or.
Aye, my lord.
Ever.
I'll lay my head to any good man's hat. These oaths and laws will prove an idle scorn. Sirrah, come on.
Boy, what sign is it when a man of great spirit grows melancholy?
A great sign, Signor Armado, that he will look sad.
Why, sadness is one and the same thing, dearie.
Oh, no, Lord, sir, no.
How canst thou part sadness and melancholy, my tender juvenile?
By a familiar demonstration of the working, my tough senior.
Why tough senior? Why tough senior?
Why tender juvenile? Why tender juvenile?
I spoke a tender juvenile as a congruent epithetum appertaining to thy young days, which we may nominate tender.
And I, tough senior, as an appurtenant title to your time, which we may name tough.
Pretty and apt.
How mean you, sir? I pretty in my saying apt, or I apt in my saying pretty?
Thou pretty because little.
Little pretty because little. Wherefore apt?
And therefore apt because quick.
Speak you this in my praise, master?
In thy condign praise.
I will praise an eel with the same praise.
What? That an eel is ingenious?
That an eel is quick.
I do say that thou art quick in answers.
You may do it in an hour, sir.
Impossible.
How many is one thrice told?
I am ill at reckoning. It fitted the spirit of a tapster. I will hereupon confess I am in love. And as it is base for a soldier to love, so am I in love with a base wench. Comfort me, boy. My spirit grows heavy in love.
And that's great marvel, loving a light wench.
Come on, sir, the Duke's pleasure is that you keep Costard safe, and you must let him take not delight nor no penance, but he must fast 3 days a week.
Oh.
For this maid, Jacquinetta here, I must keep her at the park. Fare you well.
I do betray myself with blushing. Maid.
Man.
I will visit thee at the lodge.
That's hereby.
I know where it is situated.
Lord, how wise you are.
I will tell thee wonders.
With that face?
I love thee.
So I heard you say.
And so, farewell.
Farewell, after you.
Come, Jacquinetta, farewell, away.
Faster, thou villain. Thou shalt fast for thy offenses ere thou be pardoned.
Well, sir, I hope when I do it, I shall do it in a full stomach.
Thou shalt be heavily punished.
I am more bound to you than your fellows, then, for they are but lightly rewarded.
Take away this villain. Shut him up, boy.
Come, you transgressing slave, away.
Let me not be pent up, sir. I will fast being loose.
No, sir, that were fast and loose. Thou shalt to prison.
I do affect the very ground which is base, where her shoe which is base, are guided by her foot which is basest doth tread. Love is a familiar. Love is a devil. There is no evil angel but love. Yet was Samson so tempted, and he had an excellent strength. Yet was Solomon so seduced, and he had a very good wit. Oh, Cupid's butt shaft is too hard. His disgrace is to be called boy, but his glory is to subdue men. Adieu, valor. Rust rapier. Be still, drum. For your manager is in love. Assist me some extemporal god of rhyme, for I am sure I shall turn sonnet. Devise wit. Write pen. For I am for whole volume in folio.
Meanwhile, the Princess of France and her train have completed the last stage of their journey to the court of Navarre. Now, in a field adjacent to the palace, they pause a while so that the princess's arrival may properly be announced to the king and his cloistered courtiers. Boyette, Milady's chief counselor, addresses her.
Now, madam, summon up your dearest spirits. Consider who the king, your father, sends, to whom he sends, and what's his embassy. Yourself, head precious in the world's esteem, to parley with the sole inheritor of all perfections that a man may own. Matchless Navarre, the plea of no less weight than Aquitaine, a dowry for a queen.
Good Lord, Boyette, you are not ignorant. All telling fame doth noise abroad. Navarre hath made a vow. Till painful study shall outwear 3 years, no woman may approach his silent court. Therefore to us seems it a needful course, before we enter his forbidden gates, to know his pleasure. Mm-hmm. And in that behalf, bold of your worthiness, we single you as our best moving fair solicitor. Tell him the daughter of the King of France, on serious business, craving quick dispatch, importunes personal conference with his grace.
Proud of employment, willingly I go.
All pride is willing pride, and yours is so. Who are the votaries, me loving lords, that are vow fellows with this virtuous duke? Know you the man?
I know him, madam. A man of sovereign parts he is esteemed, well fitted in the arts, glorious in arms. Nothing becomes him ill that he would well. The only soil of his fair virtue's gloss is a sharp wit, matched with too blunt a will whose edge hath power to cut.
The merry mocking lord belike is so. Who are the rest?
The young Dumaine, a well-accomplished youth. He hath wit to make an ill shape good, and shape to win grace, though he had no wit.
Another of these students at that time was there with him, if I have heard a truth. The Rune, they call him. But a merrier man within the limit of becoming mirth, I never spent an hour's talk with all.
God bless my ladies. Are they all in love?
Oh, that every one her own hath garnished with such bedecking ornaments of praise.
Here comes Boyette.
Now, what admittance, lord, to Navarre's court?
Navarre had notice of your fair approach, and he and his competitors in oath were all addressed to meet you, gentle lady, before I came. Marry, this much I have learned. He rather means to lodge you in the field.
Oh,
like one that comes here to besiege his court, then seek a dispensation for his oath.
Oh,
here comes Navarre.
Fair princess, welcome to the court of Navarre.
Fair, I give you back again, and welcome I have not yet. The roof of this court is too high to be yours, and welcome to the wide field, too base to be mine.
You shall be welcome, madam, to my court.
I will be welcome, then. Conduct me thither.
Hear me, dear lady. I have sworn an oath.
Our lady, help me, lord. He'll be forsworn.
Not for the world, fair madam, by my will.
Why, will shall break it. Will and nothing else.
Your ladyship is ignorant what it is. Come,
did not I dance with you in Brabant once? I know you did.
How needless was it then to ask the question?
You must not be so quick.
It is long of you that spur me with such questions.
Your wit's too hot, it speeds too fast, and twill tire.
Not till it leave the rider in the mire.
What time of day?
The hour that fools should ask.
Don't you, my lady, your wit?
Monsieur Boyette, I pray you a word.
Oh, what lady is that same? The heir of Alençon. Catherine's her name.
A gallant lady, monsieur. Fare you well.
Monsieur Boyette. I beseech you a word. What is she in the white?
A woman sometimes, and you saw her in the light.
I desire her name.
She hath but one for herself. To desire that, what a shame.
I pray you, sir, whose daughter?
Her mother's, I have heard.
God's blessing on your beard.
Good sir, be not offended. She is an heir of Falconbridge.
Nay, my choler is ended. She is a most sweet lady.
Monsieur Boyette, what's her name in the cap?
Rosaline, by good hap.
Is she wedded or no?
To her will, sir, or no.
You are welcome, sir. Adieu.
Farewell to me, sir, and welcome to you.
Oh, yes. That last was the room, the merry madcap lord. Not a word with him, but a jest.
If my observation, which very seldom lies, deceive me not now, Navarre is infected.
With what?
With that which we lovers entitle affective.
Your reason?
Why, all his behaviors that make their retire to the court of his eye, peeping through desire.
Thou art an old love monger and speakest skillfully.
He hath Cupid's grandfather and learns news of him.
Play, child. Make passionate to my sense of hearing. Sweet air. Go, tenderness of years. Take this key. Give enlargement to the swain Custer. Bring him festinately hither. I must employ him in a letter to my love. Fetch hither the swain. He must carry me a letter.
A message well sympathized. A horse to be ambassador for an ass. I go, as swift as lead, sir.
Thy meaning, pretty ingenious? Is not lead a metal heavy, dull, and slow?
Many me, honest master. Or rather, master, no.
I say lead is slow.
You are too swift, sir, to say so. Is that lead slow which is fired from a gun?
Sweet smoke of rhetoric. He reputes me a cannon. And the bullet, that's he. I shoot thee at the swain.
Hold, but here comes Custard himself now.
I heard thee saying my name. What would you, sir?
Marry Custard. I will enfranchise thee.
Oh, marry me to one Francis.
By my sweet soul, I mean setting thee at liberty and freedoming thy person. Thou art immured, restrained, captivated. Wow.
True, true. And now you will be my purgation and let me loose.
I give thee thy liberty, set thee from durance, and in lieu thereof impose on thee nothing but this. Bear this letter I give you now to the country maid Jacaneta. There is remuneration. For the best word of mine honor is rewarding my dependence. Moth, follow.
Like the sequel I, Signor Custard, adieu.
Now will I look to his remuneration. Remuneration. Oh, that's the Latin word for 3 farthings. 3 farthings. Remuneration. What's the price of this, Inkle? 1 penny. No, I'll give you a remuneration. Why, it carries it. Remuneration.
Oh, my good knave Custard, exceedingly well met.
I thank your worship. God be with you.
Yes, stay, slave, stay. I must employ thee. As I will win my favor, good my knave, do one thing for me that I shall entreat.
When would you have it done, sir?
This afternoon.
Well, I will do it, sir. Fare you well.
Thou knowest not what it is.
I shall know, sir, when I have done it.
Why, villain, I must know first.
I will come to your worship tomorrow morning.
It must be done this afternoon. Hark, slave, it is but this. The princess comes to hunt here in the park, and in her train there is a gentle lady. When tongues speak sweetly, then they name her name, and Rosaline they call her. Ask for her, and to her white hand see thou do commend this sealed-up counsel. There's thy guerdon. Go.
Guerdon. Oh, sweet guerdon. Better than remuneration. 11 pence farthing better. Most sweet guerdon. I will do it, sir, and print. Guerdon. Remuneration. Guerdon.
And I, forsooth, in love. I that have been love's critic, nay, a domineering pedant o'er the boy, than whom no mortal's so magnificent. This wimpled, whining, purblind, wayward boy, liege of all loiterers and malcontents. Oh, my little heart. What, I love, I sue, I seek a wife, and I to sigh for her, to watch for her, to pray for her. Oh, go to it, is a plague that Cupid will impose for my neglect of his almighty, dreadful little knight.
Well, Lord, Today we shall have our dispatch. On Saturday we will return to France.
Here comes a member of the Commonwealth.
God dig you good dead all. Pray you, which is the head lady?
Thou shalt know her, fellow, by the rest that have no head.
Which is the greatest lady, the highest?
The thickest and the tallest.
The thickest and the tallest. It is so. Truth is truth. And your waist, mistress, were as slender as my wit. One of your maid's girdles for your waist should be fit. Are not you the chief woman? You are the thickest here.
What's your will, sir? What's your will?
I have a letter from Monsieur Baroon to one Lady Rosaline.
Oh, thy letter, thy letter. He's a good friend of mine. Stand aside, good bearer. Or yet you can carve. Break up this capon.
I am bound to serve. This letter is mistook. It importeth none here. Oh. It is writ to Jaconetta.
We will read it, I swear. Break the neck of the wax, and everyone give ear.
Read, Boyette.
By heaven, that thou art fair is most infallible true. That thou art beauteous truth itself. That thou art lovely. Shall I command thy love? I may. Shall I enforce thy love? I could. Shall I entreat thy love? I will. What shalt thou exchange for rags? Robes, for titles, titles, for thyself, me. Thus, expecting thy reply, I profane my lips on thy foot, my eyes on thy picture, and my heart on thy every part. Thine, in the dearest design of industry, Don Adriano di Amano.
What plume of feathers is he that indited this letter? What vane, what weathercock, did you ever hear better?
I am much deceived, but I remember the style. This Amado is a Spaniard that keeps here in court, and one that makes sport to the prince and his bookmates.
Thou, fellow, a word. Who gave thee this letter?
I told you. Milord.
To whom shouldst thou give it?
From milord to milady.
From which lord to which lady?
From milord Baroon, a good master of mine, to a lady of France that he called Rosaline.
Thou hast mistaken his letter. Come, lords, away.
Hunting the deer. I am crossing myself. By the Lord, this love is mad. I will not love, this faith I will not. By heaven, I do love. And it hath taught me to rhyme and to be melancholy. Well, she hath one of my sonnets already. The clown bore it, the fool sent it, and the lady hath it. Sweet clown. Sweeter fool, sweetest lady. By the world, I would not care a pin if the other three were in.
Annie.
Here comes the king with a paper. God give him grace to read aloud. I will hide him. Shot by heaven. Proceed, sweet Cupid. Thou hast something with thy bird bows under the left cap.
So sweet a kiss.
In faith, yes.
The golden sun gives not to those fresh morning drops upon the rose, as thy eye beams when their fresh rays have smote the night of dew that on my cheeks downflows. How shall she know my griefs? I'll drop the paper. Sweet leaves, shade folly.
Ah, me.
Who is he comes here? What? Longueville, I'm reading. Listen, ear, I'll hide thee.
Ah, me, I am forsworn.
In love, I hope. Sweet fellowship in shame.
I fear these stubborn lines lack power to move. Oh, sweet Maria, empress of my love. Oh, these numbers will I tear and write in prose. No, the same shall go. Did not the heavenly rhetoric of thine eyes, against whom the world cannot hold argument, persuade my heart to this false perjury? Vows for thee broke deserve not punishment. A woman I forswore, but I will prove thou being a goddess, I forswore not thee.
This is a liver vein which makes flesh a deity, a green goose a goddess. Pure, pure idolatry. God amends, God amends.
By whom shall I sin this?
Almost divine.
Domain transformed.
Oh, that I had my wish.
And I had mine.
And I mine.
And I mine.
Once more I'll read the ode that I've writ. On a day, alack the day, love, whose month is ever May, spied a blossom passing fair, playing in the wanton air. Do not call it sin in me that I am forsworn for thee. This will I send in something else more plain that shall express my true love's fasting pain. Oh, would the king, Barun, and Longaville were lovers too. Ill to example ill will come from my forehead wipe a perjured note, for none offend where all alike do dote.
To mean,
Longaville.
Thy love is far from charity, that in love's grief desireth society. You may look pale, but I should blush, I know, to be o'erheard and taken napping so.
Come, sir, you blush.
Well,
is your case is such. You chided him, offending twice as much. I've been closely shrouded in this bush and marked you both, and for you both did blush. Mopple Baroon say, when that he shall hear faith so infringed, which such zeal did swear, how will he scorn, how will he spend his wit, how will he triumph, leap and laugh at it? For all the wealth that ever I did see, I would not have him know so much by me.
Now step I forth with hypocrisy.
Ah, good news,
Baroon.
I pray thee pardon me. Oh. Good heart. What grace hast thou thus to reprove these worms for loving that art most in love?
Huh?
Oh, what a scene of foolery have I seen. Of sighs, of groans, of sorrow, and of teen. Oh, me, with what strict patience have I sat to see a king transformed to a gnat.
Oh, no.
Where lies thy grief? Oh, tell me, good Humane. And, gentle Longaville, where lives thy pain? And where my liege is? All about the breast.
Too bitter is thy jest. Are we betrayed thus to thy overview?
Not you to me, but I betrayed by you. I that am honest. I that hold it sin to break the vow I am engaged in. I am betrayed by keeping company with men like you, men of inconstancy. When shall you see me write a thing in rhyme? Or groan for love, or spend a minute's time in pruning me?
Soft, whither away so fast? A true man or a thief that gallops so?
I post from love, good lover, let me go. Here come Custard and the wench.
God bless the king.
What present hast thou there?
Some certain treason.
What makes treason here?
Nay, it makes nothing, sir.
If it mar nothing neither, the treason and you go in peace away together.
I beseech your grace, let this letter be read. Our parson misdoubts it. 'Twas treason, he said.
Baroon, read it over. Where hadst thou it?
Of Costard.
Costard, where hadst thou it?
Of Don Adramadrio. Don Adramadrio.
My own love, Senator Rosaline.
How now, Baroon? What is in you? Why dost thou tear it?
Oh, no, a toy, my liege, a toy. Your grace needs fear it not.
It did move him to passion, and therefore let's hear it.
It is Baroon's writing, and what? Here is his name.
Oh.
Custard, you loggerhead, you were born to do me shame. Guilty, my lord, guilty, I confess.
Oh, what?
That you three fools lacked me fool to make up the mess. He, and you, my liege, and I, are picked purses in love, and we deserve to die. Oh, dismiss this audience, and I shall tell you more.
Now the number is even.
True, we are four. Will these turtles be gone?
Hence us away.
Come, Jacques.
These lords and ladies, they all
sweet lords, sweet lovers, all let us embrace. As true as we are, as flesh and blood can be. The sea will ebb and flow, heaven show his face. Young blood doth not obey an old decree.
What? Did these rent lines show some love of thine?
Did they, quoth you? Who sees the heavenly Rosaline? That like a rude and savage man of Ind, at the first opening of the gorgeous east, bows not his vassal head, and stricken blind, kisses the base ground with obedient breast.
What zeal, what fury hath inspired thee now? My love, her mistress is a gracious moon, she an attending star, scarce seen alight.
My eyes are then no eyes, nor I beroon. She passes praise. A withered hermit 50 winters worn might shake off 50 looking in her eye.
But what of this? Are we not all in love?
Nothing so sure, and thereby all forsworn.
Then leave this chat, and good Baroon, now prove our loving lawful and our faith not torn.
Aye, marry there. Some flattery for this evil.
Oh, some authority how to proceed. Some trick, some quillet, how to cheat the devil.
Some salve for perjury.
Tis more than need. Have at you then, affection's men-at-arms. Consider what you first did swear unto, to fast, to study, and to see no woman. Blood treason against the kingly state of youth.
Aye.
For when would you, my lord, or you, have found the ground of study's excellence without the beauty of a woman's face?
No,
true.
Never.
For where is any author in the world that teaches such beauty as a woman's eye? A lover's eye will gaze an eagle blind. A lover's ear will hear the lowest sound when the suspicious head of theft is stopped. Love's feeling is more soft and sensible than are the tender horns of cockle snails. Love's tongues prove dainty, Bacchus gross in taste.
For valor is not lover Hercules, still climbing trees in the Hesperides, subtle as Sphinx, as sweet and musical as bright Apollo's lute strung with his hair. And when love speaks, the voice of all the gods make heaven drowsy with a harmony. From woman's eyes this doctrine I derive. They sparkle still the ripe Promethean fire. They are the books, the art, the academes that show, contain, and nourish all the world. Then fools you wear these women to forswear. For keeping what is sworn you will prove fools. For wisdom's sake, a word that all men love, or for love's sake, a word that loves all men, let us once lose our oaths to find ourselves. Or else we lose ourselves to keep our oaths.
Saint Cupid, then, and soldiers to the field.
Advance your standards and upon them, lord.
Now to plain dealing, lay these gloses by. Shall we resolve to woo these girls of France?
And win them, too. Therefore, let us devise some entertainment for them in their tents.
First, from the park, let us conduct them thither.
Aye.
Then homeward every man attach the hand of his fair mistress.
Mm-hmm.
In the afternoon, we will with some strange pastimes solace them.
Good, good.
Such as the shortness of the time can shape.
Away, away! No time shall be omitted. There will be time, and may by us be fitted.
Rich ere we depart, if rich gifts come thus plentifully in. A lady walled about with diamonds. Look you what I have from the loving king.
Madam, came nothing else along with them?
Nothing but this. Yes, as much love in rhyme as would be crammed up on a sheet of paper. Writ of both sides, the leaf, margent, and all. But Rosaline, you have a favor, too. Who sent it, and what is it?
I would you knew. If my face were but as fair as yours, my favor were as great. Be witness this. Nay, I have verses too, I think, the room. The number's true, and wear the numbering too. I wear the fairest goddess on the ground.
But, Catherine, what was sent to you from fair Dumaine?
Madam, this glove.
Did he not send you twain?
Yes, madam. And moreover, some thousand verses of a faithful lover. A huge translation of hypocrisy, vilely compiled, profound simplicity.
Oh. This and these pearls to me sent Longueville. The letter is too long by half a mile.
I think no less. Dost thou not wish in heart the chain were longer and the letter short?
Why, madam?
We are wise girls to mock our lovers so.
They are worse fools to purchase mocking so. That same Baroon I'll torture ere I go.
None are so surely caught when they are catched as wit turned fool.
The blood of youth burns not with such excess as gravity's revolt to wantonness.
Folly in fools bears not so strong a note as foolery in the wise when wit doth dote.
Here comes Boyette, and mirth is in his face.
Oh, I am stabbed with laughter. Where's her grace?
Thy news, Boyette.
Prepare, madam, prepare. Arm, wenches, arm. Love doth approach, disguised, armed in arguments. You'll be surmised. Muster your wits, stand in your own defense, or hide your hearts like cowards and fly hence.
Saint Dennis to Saint Cupid, what are they that charge their breath against us? Say, scout, say.
Under the cool shade of a sycamore, I thought to close mine eyes some half an hour, when lo, to interrupt my purposed rest, toward that shade addressed the king and his companions. Warily, I stole into a neighbor thicket by, and overheard what you shall overhear, that by and by, disguised, they will be here.
But what come they to visit us?
They do. And all appareled thus like Muscovites or Russians.
Russians!
Their purpose is to prowl to court and dance. And everyone his love feet will advance unto his several mistresses, which they'll know by favor several which they did bestow.
And will they so? The gallant shall be tasked. For ladies, we will everyone be masked, and not a man of them shall have the grace, despite a suit, to see a lady's face. Hold, Rosaline, this favor thou shalt wear, and then the king will court thee for his dear. Hold, take thou this, my sweet, and give me thine, so shall Baroon take me for Rosaline. And change your favor, too, so shall your loves woo contrary, deceived by these removes.
Come on, then. Where the favor's most in sight.
But in this changing, what is your intent?
The effect of my intent is to cross theirs. They but do it in mocking merriment, and mock for mock is only my intent. Their several counsels they unbosom shall to love mistook. and so be mocked withal upon the next occasion that we meet with visages displayed to talk and greet.
The trumpet sounds. Be masked. The maskers come.
All hail the richest beauties on the earth.
And then appeared a sight indeed. The king, Berun, Dumain, and Longueville, dressed as Russians and disguised by false whiskers and black masks. Immediately, each of the impostors attempted to locate his own particular love. At first, they despaired of success because the ladies were heavily masked, even as they themselves were, and it was impossible to ascertain their true identities. Finally, they answered the problem just as those merry ladies had hoped they would. They spied the gifts that each had sent individually to his beloved. And the king, Berun, Dumain, and Longueville turned their attentions each to the lady who wore the gift he had bestowed. However, as you may remember, the ladies had exchanged those gifts among themselves. So the king began to woo Rosaline, thinking she was the princess. Berun turned all his charm toward the princess, thinking that she was Rosaline. And so on, with Dumain and Longueville making similar mistakes. But they advanced their suits little, even to the wrong lady. The princess and her friends mocked each and all of them, and were so rude and vexing withal, that finally the king and his courtiers gave up their efforts in dismay.
Farewell, mad wenches. You have simple wit.
20 of yours, my frozen musk of it. Were these the breed of wit so wondered at?
Oh, tapers they are, with your sweet breaths puffed out.
Well, liking wit they have, gross, gross fat.
Oh, poverty and wit, kingly poor flout. Will they not think you hang themselves tonight, or ever but in masks show their faces? This pert Berun was out of countenance quite.
Oh, they were all in lamentable cases. The king was weeping ripe for a good word.
Berun did swear himself out of all suit.
Dumain was at my service, and his sword. No point, quoth I. My servant straight was mute.
Lord Longueville said I came all his heart, and trow you what he called me.
Qualm, perhaps.
Yes, a good faith.
Those sickness as thou art.
Well, better wits have worn plain statute caps. But will you hear? The king is my love sworn.
And quick Berun hath plighted faith to me.
And Longueville was for my service born.
Dumain is mine as sure as bark on tree.
Madam and pretty mistresses, give ear. Immediately they will again be here in their own shapes. For it can never be they will digest this harsh indignity.
Will they return?
They will, God knows. And leap for joy, though they are lame with blows. Therefore, change favors, and when they repair, blow like sweet roses in this summer air.
What shall we do if they return in their own shapes to woo?
Good madam, if by me you'll be advised, let us complain to them what fools were here disguised as like Muscovites in shapeless gear. And wonder what they wear, and to what end their shallow shows that prologue vilely pen. And their rough carriage so ridiculous should be presented at our tent to us.
Ladies, withdraw. The gallants are at hand.
With your goes over land.
Fair boy, Ed, God save you. Where's the princess?
Gone to her tent, please it, your majesty. Command me any service to her thither.
That she vouchsafe me audience for one word.
I will, and so will she. I know my law.
This fellow picks up wit as pigeons peas, and utters it again when God doth please.
A blister on his sweet tongue.
See where she comes.
Well, all hail, sweet madam, and fair time of day.
Fair in all hail is foul, as I conceive.
Construe my speeches better, if you may.
Then wish me better, I will give you leave.
We came to visit you in purpose now to lead you to our court. Vouchsafe it then.
This field shall hold me, and so hold your vow. Nor God nor I delights in perjured men.
Rebuke me not for that which you provoke. The virtue of your eye must break my oath. Oh, you have lived in desolation here, unseen, unvisited, much to our shame.
Not so, my lord. It is not so, I swear. We have had pastimes here and pleasant games. A mess of Russians left us but of late.
A mess?
How, madam? Russians?
Aye, in truth, my lord. Trim gallants full of courtship and of state.
Madam, speak true. It is not so, my lord.
No?
My lady, to the manner of the days, in courtesy gives undeserving praise. We four, indeed, confronted wherewith four in Russian had it. Here they stayed an hour and talked apace. And in that hour, my lord, they did not bless us with one happy word.
No.
I dare not call them fools, but this I think. When they are thirsty, fools would fain have drink.
This jest is dry to me. Fair, gentle, sweet, your wit makes wise things foolish.
Which of the vizards was it that you wore?
What vizard? Why demand you this?
There, then, that vizard. That superfluous case that hid the worse and showed the better face.
We are descried. They'll mock us now downright.
Let us confess and turn it into a jest.
Amazed, my lord. Why look your highness sad?
Help, hold his brows, he'll swoon. Why look you pale? Seasick, I think, coming from Muscovy.
Thus pour the staff down plagues for perjury. Can any piece of brass hold longer out? Here stand I, lady, dart thy skill at me, bruise me with scorn, confound me with a flout. Oh, never will I trust to speeches penned. I do forswear them, and I here protest henceforth my wooing mind shall be expressed in rotted yeas and honest curly nose. And to begin, wench, so help me la, my love to be is sound sans crack or flaw.
Sans, I pray you.
But teach us, sweet madam, for our rude transgression some fair excuse.
The fairest is confession. Were you not here, but even now disguised?
Madam, I was.
And were you well advised?
I was, fair madam.
When you then were here, what did you whisper in your lady's ear?
That more than all the world I did respect her.
When she shall challenge this, you will reject her.
Upon mine honor, no.
Please forbear. Your oath once broke, you forth not to forswear.
Despise me when I break this oath of mine.
I will, and therefore keep it. Rotherline, what did the Russian whisper in your ear?
Madam, he swore that he did hold me dear as precious eyesight, and did value me above this world, adding thereto, moreover, that he would wed me, or else die, my lover.
God give the joy of him. What? The noble lord most honorably doth uphold his word.
Oh, what mean you, madam? By my life, my troth, I never swore this lady such an oath.
By heaven, you did. And to confirm it plain, you gave me this. But take it so again.
My faith and this the princess I did give. I knew her by this jewel on her sleeve.
Pardon me, sir, this jewel did she wear.
Oh.
And Lord Beroon, I thank him, is my dear.
Aye.
What, will you have me? Or your pearl again?
Neither of either. I remit both twain. I see the trick on't. Here was a consent, knowing aforehand of our merriment, to dash it like a Christmas comedy. Aye. Some carry tale, some please man, some slight zany, told our intents before, which once disclosed, the ladies did change favors. And then we, following the signs, wooed but the sign of she.
God save you, madam.
Welcome, Macaid, but that thou interrupt our merriment.
I am sorry, madam, for the news I bring is heavy in my tongue. The king, your father.
Dead for my life.
Even so, my tale is told.
The scene begins to cloud. How fares your majesty?
Boy, prepare. I will away tonight.
Madam, not so. I do beseech you stay.
Prepare, I say. I thank you, gracious lord, for all your fair endeavors, and entreat out of a new sad soul, that you vouchsafe in your rich wisdom to excuse or hide the liberal opposition of our spirits. If over boldly we have borne ourselves in the converse of breath, your gentleness was guilty of it. Farewell, worthy lord. A heavy heart bears not a nimble tongue.
Since love's argument was first on foot, let not the cloud of sorrow jostle it from what it purposed.
I understand you not. My griefs are dull.
Honest, plain words best pierce the ear of grief. And by these badges understand the king. Your beauty, ladies, hath much deformed us, fashioning our humors even to the opposed end of our intents. And what in us hath seemed ridiculous, as love is full of unbefitting strains, all wanton as a child skipping in vain, formed by the eye and therefore like the eye, full of strange shapes of habits and of forms. Therefore, ladies, our love being yours, the error that love makes, is likewise yours.
We have received your letters full of love, your favors, the ambassadors of love, and in our maiden council rated them at courtship. pleasant jest and courtesy, as bombast and as lining to the times.
Oh, no,
but more devout than this in our respects have we not been, and therefore met your loves in their own fashion, like a merriment.
Our letters, madam, showed much more than jest.
So did our looks.
We did not quote them so.
Now, at the latest minute of the hour, grant us your love.
A time, methinks, too short to make a world without end bargain in. No, no, my lord, your grace is perjured much, full of dear guiltiness, and therefore this. If for my love, as there is no such cause, you will do aught, this shall you do for me. Your oath I will not trust, but go with speed to some forlorn and naked hermitage, remote from all the pleasures of the world. There stay until the 12 celestial signs have brought about the annual reckoning. If this austere, insociable life, change not your offer made in heat of blood. Then at the expiration of the year, come challenge me. Challenge me by these deserts. And by this virgin palm now kissing thine, I will be thine.
If this, or more than this, I would deny, to flatter up these powers of mine with rest, the sudden hand of death close up mine eye. Hence ever then my heart is in thy breast.
But what to me, my love? But what to me, a wife?
A beard, fair health, and honesty. With threefold love, I wish you all these three.
Oh, shall I say I thank you, gentle wife?
Not so, my lord. A 12-month and a day, I'll mark no word that smooth-faced wooer say. Come when the king doth to my lady come. Then if I have much love, I'll give you some.
I'll serve thee true and faithfully till then.
Yet swear not, lest ye be forsworn again.
What says Maria?
At the 12-month end, I'll change my black gown for a faithful friend.
I'll stay with patience, but the time is long.
The like of you. You taller are so young.
And what to me, my love, and what to me? Studies, my lady. Mistress, look on me. Impose some service on me for thy love.
Oft have I heard of you, my lord Baroon, before I saw you. And the world's large tongue proclaimed you for a man replete with mocks.
But I...
Full of comparisons and wounding flouts, which you on all estates will execute that lie within the mercy of your wit. To weed this wormwood from your fruitful brain, and therewithal to win me, if you please. You shall this 12-month term, from day to day, visit the speechless sick, and still converse with groaning wretches.
Oh.
And your task shall be, with all the fierce endeavor of your wit, to enforce the painted impotent to smile.
To move wild laughter in the throat of death? It cannot be, it is impossible. A 12-month? Oh, well, before, what will befall? I'll jest a 12-month in a hospital.
Aye, sweet my lord. And so I take my leave.
No, madam. We will bring you on your way.
Our wooing doth not end like an old play. Jack hath not Jill.
Come, sir. It wants a 12-month and a day, and then 'twill end.
That's too long for a play.
Sweet majesty, vouchsafe me. I will kiss thy royal finger and take leave. But, most esteemed greatness, will you hear the dialogue that the two learned men have compiled in praise of the owl and the cuckoo?
Yes.
This side is heim is winter, this there the spring. The one maintained by the owl, the other by the cuckoo. There, begin.
When day is fine and violet blue, and ladies cross on silver wine, and cuckoo. Blood is nipped and ways be foul,
then nightly sings the staring owl, then nightly sings the staring owl. To whoo, to it, to whoo, to whoo. A merry note, a merry note, while greasy John the keel the pot, while greasy John the keel the pot. When all aloud the wind doth blow, and coughing round the parson saw, and birds it brooding in the snow, and Marian's nose looks red and raw. When Rosebud crabs hits in the bow, then nightly sings the staring owl, then nightly sings the staring owl.
Just heard Shakespeare's Love's Labour's Lost with the following cast. Narrator, Ned Weaver. The King, Horace Braham. Garoon, Alfred Shirley. Dumaine, Carlton Young. Longueville, Burford Hampton. Dull, A.P. Kay. Costard, Whitford Kane. Armado, Joseph DeSantis. Moth, Ronald Liss. Boyette, Richard Gordon. Princess, Vera Allen. Rosalind, Jill Esmond. Maria, Joan Warburton. Catherine, Pat Calvert. Jack Winnetta, Mona Hungerford, Mercade, Winston Ross. Love's Labour's Lost was adapted by Charles Newton. Special music written by Gail Kubik. The orchestra under the direction of Joseph Haunted. The play was directed by Charles Warburton. Next Sunday at this time, we shall present Shakespeare's Merry Wives of Windsor, a comedy starring one of Elizabethan England's merriest rogues, Sir John Falstaff. A Great Plays drama guide by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Columbia University Press in care of Great Plays, Columbia University, New York, New York. The Great Plays Drama Guide contains a summary of the plot, sketch of the author's life, and pertinent facts about each of the 30 plays in this series. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining Great Plays of this series. This program has been presented as a public service by the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the NBC networks, and came to you from the RCA building, Radio City, New York.